Ever wonder the true power of sports? Well, you come to the right place. Welcome to the Sports for Social Impact podcast. I'm David Thibodeau, and I believe that by exploring the intersection between sport and society, we can better leverage the sport industry for maximum impact. We explore what sport's true power is to understand the impacts on and the impacts of sports on society. Join me as we learn how sports can influence important policy areas such as the environment, transportation, education, and so much more. Just a quick note before we get into the episode, I just wanted to say that this is the 50th episode of the Sports for Social Impact podcast. It is so exciting to reach this milestone, and we have really enjoyed the last 2.5 years of this podcast and all the conversations that we've had. And we look forward to keep having those conversations and to keep exploring the intersection between sport and society. Thank you so much for listening to the Sports for Social Impact podcast. Cori D'Amano is the mayor of Banff. She was first elected as town councillor in Banff for the first time in 2023 and has since served 2 terms as councillor and was elected as mayor in 2021. Prior to this, she worked in journalism as a reporter and a magazine editor in the Bow Valley. In 2013, she transitioned into working in communications for the Banff Canmore Community Foundation, and in 2018 became a part-time coordinator with Rome Public Transit. Now, in this episode, we talk about what it's like to live in a national park, how we can connect people to sport and recreation more sustainably, how we can get our citizenry more active with different sorts of initiatives and rebates coming from municipalities. And, some really interesting takeaways that people, working in urban planning can use in their own cities around the world to help create a more active lifestyle for its citizens and for tourists alike. The news for today comes from the Canada Games Council. So this past April, on Earth Day, they unveiled their environment component of their newly developed sustainable and impact strategy. So there's 3 areas that they are trying to address through this environmental strategy. So there's energy and climate. So there's the GHG emissions, energy efficiency, and air quality. There's the circularity and waste. So plastic reduction, waste reduction, circular economy. And there's the natural regeneration. So climate adaptation, water quality, and landscape and protected areas. So, they are aiming in these 3 different specific priorities. So over the coming years, they're going to be working with stakeholders and partners and, the host societies to ensure that they are, working to reduce their environmental impact in those 3 areas with targeted initiatives. So it'll be interesting to see how this develops, how this, conceptualizes in different initiatives to tackle these issues with in terms of sustainability. I'm excited to be part of the board of directors for the Canada Games Council, as everyone knows. So I am excited to be part of this team and excited to have this opportunity to work on these priorities and help push this message and push these ideas and ideals forward and really get going on climate action in sport. So the Canada Games Council was the first national sport organization in Canada to become a signatory of the United Nations Sport for Climate Action framework. So now we're really going in hard, and we are working on accelerating the conversation, educating the Canadian sport community, and celebrating the work that is being done to green the sport sector in Canada. Now, we've talked about all these different things, plastic reduction in sport, how we can have a more circular economy in sport, climate adaptation. We talked about all these things on the podcast. So I'm excited to see, a Canadian organization, Canadian national sport organization, really stepping up to the plate, putting this right in the middle, right in the forefront of everything that they're about. So it'll be interesting to see how we can implement this and really get things going. Welcome today, my guest, who is the mayor of Banff, Corey DeMano. Corey, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and taking the time to speak with me today. I'm very excited to have you on. Could you start off by, telling us a bit about yourself?
Absolutely, and thanks for having me. It's very exciting to be talking about all things active modes in Banff. A little bit about myself. I spent a lot of time in Banff. My dad is born and raised here, so I spent a lot of time growing up here in the summer times. And then I got a job at the local newspaper and really enjoyed getting to know the community through that lens. I started covering council, found it really fascinating. And then in 2013, a friend said, "Hey, why don't you run?" And I thought it was the craziest thing I'd ever heard. And so here we are today, 9.5 years later. So I have really found my time on council to be very rewarding. Of course, there's challenges, and especially the transition from councillor to mayor has been a big learning curve, but one that I have enjoyed. And mostly it's just because of the good work that we're able to do. And I know we're going to get into talking about it, but we have a lot of exciting initiatives going on here in our small mountain town, and I'm excited to talk about them with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And Banff is a really special place. And I think that's interesting. Because of where you are and how small Banff is, right? I think it's like 4 square kilometers the whole
That's right.
town. And it's it's a really tiny blip in how big the national park really is. And so Banff is one of two municipalities located in a national park in Canada. It's also the birth, the I guess like just the outsider, I don't know if it's technically in the town, but it's the birthplace of the national park system in Canada and also one of the first national park systems in the world, I believe. So there's a lot of very special things happening in Banff. So what do you think it means to residents to be living in, a national park? And what does it mean to you to be a resident? And what does it mean to you to be mayor of Banff?
Great question. I think it is such a privilege to be able to live here. And of course, we know that in mountain towns, there's, especially with tourist destinations, there's always going to be affordability challenges because you're in a tourist center. But if you can make that sacrifice work, it is such a privilege. And I think the folks here feel that we are stewards of this park, and it's our job to be that ambassador to the 4 million visitors we see a year to educate them on how we do things here. We do things a little bit different, but it's because of this beautiful landscape that surrounds us that we're able to have that social license to share with the world how we do things here. And so, me personally, I think sometimes you get caught up in the day-to-day. So the meetings you're in, whatever personal stuff you might be going through, and your head down, and I walk to and from work in winter, and in summer I bike, and you're just head down getting from A to B, and then suddenly you look up and whoa, it just hits you, and you look at the mountain vistas and you take them in and you realize, wow, I am very lucky to be able to live here. But you can for sure just get caught up in the everyday and forget that people save up for a trip of a lifetime to come here. And so, yes, it's a big privilege. And with that comes that responsibility to ensure that we're protecting it for future generations.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, we were talking about, protecting it for future generations. I know, Banff has some different initiatives to. So I don't know what the initial reason was for to implement these initiatives, but you have a couple different initiatives. So like you have the rebate for ice grips for during the winter time, e-bikes. You also have I believe it was during the pandemic that you started the pedestrianization of downtown. You also have I'm not sure what to call it, but so Bear Street, which is a car light sort of model, like pedestrian first, and so cars are visitors. And you also have a bike valet during the summer for biking. I don't know what the original reason of these are, but they all are definitely encouraging people to get out and be active, to walk or to bike, to during the winter, to not sit on the pavement and stuff when they're walking places. So I guess could you talk a little bit about those initiatives and I guess like how they started and why those specifically were important for Banff to tackle.
Absolutely. Maybe I'll start sort of at the high level and then I'll work our way down to some of those other initiatives. So, at a very high level, as I mentioned earlier, we have 4 million visitors a year. We have a resident base of about 9,000 people. And so we have a finite road network, we have finite parking, and we've really made such an effort together with Parks Canada and Banff and Lake Louise Tourism, that's our destination marketing organization, to shift the behavior of visitors when they come to Banff and to the park. And so that has been able to take place because of Rome Public Transit. So the town of Banff, as a municipality, started Rome Public Transit with four buses in 2008, and it has grown to now service every popular spot in the town site and sort of adjacent, so Lake Minnewanka, Johnson Canyon. And we've even expanded more regionally to include Canmore and Lake Louise, as well as Moraine Lake. And so that has been the saving grace of how we are able to move folks more sustainably throughout the park. And with that, we also know that the folks that we can't get on transit, which we try more and more every year to do so, we hit a record-breaking year in 2022 with 1.65 million riders on transit, and 1 million of those were on the Banff local routes. So, meaning people going to the gondola and people going to the Tunnel Mountain campground. That was 1 million of the 1.65 million that the whole agency, the 10 routes, was able to carry. So, just a success story. And we're
Amazing.
electrifying the fleet. I think we're about a third electrified. So, that's also really good news. And so, we know that we have traffic congestion. Every tourist place is going to have traffic congestion. It's a matter of how you go about trying to handle that congestion, and it's a matter of where you want to put it. So again, we're trying our best to get folks parked immediately. We have an intercept lot now, which is fantastic, and get them onto transit. If they're at a hotel, stay parked and take transit. We have a hotel partner program that a lot of folks buy into that offer complimentary passes on Rome. So then when we look at our residents, what can we do to try to ensure that they still have a good quality of life while living in a place that can see really congested roads in the summertime? And so we really move that needle with offering free transit on the local routes so they can get a bus pass that takes them just on the local routes in town for free. As you mentioned, the e-bike rebates, which felt like Black Friday. People were in such a fever to run out and buy an e-bike and then get the rebate. They were all snatched up in less than 2 weeks, the first tranche
Wow.
we opened. And it was so popular, we opened another tranche and boom, that was gone. I think even faster than the first one. So now we've rolled it up into the whole suite of residential rebates that we offer, solar panels, the more environmental toilets, that kind of thing. So we've just rolled it up so people don't have to be in a frenzy and go buy one. They can be more methodical and thorough with their choice. So that's been great. And then when you talked about a couple of those other ones, for instance, the studded tire rebates, that was in an effort to try and get more folks commuting in wintertime. So we have a very high percentage of folks that commute actively in summer, but our winter numbers were low. And so we've been working to try and get that number up. And thankfully, we have an organization called Community Cruisers here in Banff and Canmore, and they have a program, Bike All Winter. And so that has been tremendous in getting people used to the idea, getting them outfitted, and just normalizing biking in winter. So I'm very curious next time we do our census, that's where we got that data from to begin with, to see if we've been able to move the needle there. And then in terms of Bear Street, we call that our Bear Street Shared Street, kind of like a Sesame Street song. It's been really cool to watch that street come into bloom. And the impetus was that we did Banff Avenue refreshing in the early 2000s, I believe about 15 years ago. And it was so successful. So we widened the sidewalks, we made more space for pedestrians, we took away a lot of the on-street parking. It was so successful that you didn't see the same amount of foot traffic onto Bear Street. And so we had Bear Street commercial businesses saying, hey, well, you know, we'd like to see some of that same foot traffic. And so thus we began the whole Bear Street conversation in earnest. It had been in downtown enhancement plans from the 90s. We also saw it again in our 2013 transportation master plan. But really, in my opinion, it was the success of the Banff Avenue project that really shone a light on how, when you build for that pedestrian realm, people are going to come. I always say cars don't shop, people do. And so build your streets for people. So can say that we had a really, you know, rocky construction phase. It was during COVID, the streets dug up, you know, it went into the next summer, that type of thing. We weren't delayed by any means. I think we were delayed maybe around 2 weeks, something like that, which I think feels like an eternity to people when you're doing construction sites. But now that the street's open, it is just so stunning, and it's so cool to see folks in wheelchairs, on, you know, crutches, on bikes, on scooters, rollerblades. I saw a horse down there the other day. I mean, it's really neat just to see how people have embraced that street and the patio scene and all of that. And we now know that we used to have one in every six people come over to Bear. We now have one in every three people coming over to Bear Street from Banff Avenue. So it's helped with that economic vibrancy, which has been
Amazing.
really cool to see. And then just to touch a little bit on Banff Ave in terms of that pedestrian zone, we did that, like many places around the world during COVID, to give more space, A, for physical separation and distancing, and B, to help give our commercial businesses some economic stability because of the restrictions that we saw in terms of occupancy and whatnot in restaurants and retail shops. And it was a hit. People loved it. And I remember being a little bit stressed out the first, I think it was Friday in July. It was such a nice day. There were so many people over the pedestrian zone, and this was in 2020. And I just thought this would be amazing if we weren't in the middle of a pandemic. Like, I feel stressed that we have this many people in a pandemic. Otherwise, I'd feel like just shouting from the rooftops how amazing this is. But we made it work, kept everybody safe, and then continued it with the next summer for the same reasons. We were still, you know, actively in the pandemic. And then it was a really interesting conversation talking about the future. And in 2021, council made the commitment to host the pilot again in 22 and 23 under the rationale of economic recovery. So we know visitors love this, and let's keep doing it. And what has been really interesting is a lot of residents love it too, because prior, the streets, the sidewalks would be so packed, locals would end up on the side streets and the back alleys to navigate and commute around town. And now it's the sense of, oh, I can be a part of these streets too. And I see so many locals, whether they're sitting on patios or biking or skateboarding or what have you. And it's just been a really wonderful community development experiment as well. So we'll see what happens after this summer. There is a conversation about making it permanent in terms of the infrastructure. So doing what we did with our Bear Street shared street and converting the first the 100 and 200 blocks of Banff Avenue into the same type of design. But we haven't had that conversation yet. But I'm really excited to see what the community says and to dream big and see what it could look like and go from there. Of course, there's no budget for it. So, but first things first, let's just see what people think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And definitely as a visitor to Banff, that it makes it a lot more enjoyable too, right? It's just like it's just open air space to breathe. It's just like being able to walk down Banff Ave and I guess like be around people in that space is amazing, and Bear Street is amazing as well. Like even though there are, I guess, in the summer there are cars allowed on Bear Street, but it's definitely pedestrian priority, I would say. And it definitely feels that way. So it yeah it's really amazing, those vibes that you're creating in Banff, and that that it's really upping the experience for tourists and residents alike. And yeah, I guess, I'm just curious to know more about like the Rome public transit, right? And we're talking about connecting people to these places sustainably, right? So how, and fundamentally getting, 4 million tourists to Banff in cars every year is not that sustainable. And then, yeah, in a very small place, you still have to park all these cars. I don't know, for the in the future, how can we connect people more sustainably to this world-renowned national park?
And that's the million-dollar question that we are all grappling with. Recently, a expert panel was commissioned by Parks Canada to look at how to move people more sustainably in Banff and throughout the park. And within it, there was a whole menu of recommendations. But one of the big ones, and this is one that we've been actively working with along with other municipalities, is mass transit from Calgary. So we know that our future really depends on figuring that out. So whether it's by bus or it's by passenger rail, if it's one now or one later, we know that to be able to reduce our GHG emissions and to try and mitigate against climate change, it's all about getting folks out of their personal vehicles and onto mass transit. So of course, there's the big passenger rail conversation that's happening now. Banff was born to have passenger rail. We've had it before. It ended in the 90s. We welcome passenger rail back. We think that that is a solution for our future. Of course, there are different municipalities along the track there that may have some challenges, et cetera, but Banff is in a really unique position where we already have the infrastructure mostly in place. Now, when we think about the system that we already have, come summertime, the reality is the parking lots are full by 10 or 11 a.m. Every parking lot. I'm talking the Lake Louise Lakeshore, the Banff Gondola parking lot, the Johnston Canyon parking lot. The parking lots are full. And so, what I've been saying is if you want guaranteed access to even see these spaces, going on transit is the way that you're going to be able to do it. So, again, it's all about trying to park immediately and then get onto transit. And the Rome public transit is just a world-class experience. We have these beautifully wrapped buses. They're all brand new buses. And like I said, half of the, well, sorry, not half, a third of the fleet is becoming electrified. And we're just so very proud of that success story.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, I definitely. Recently there was a big, discussion in the news and stuff about so Parks Canada closed access the road access to Moyen Lake, which is an extremely popular spot for people to go. I heard some days the parking lot filled up at like 2 a.m. some days, which is crazy to think about, how many tourists come through to see these places and then they can't even get access to. I don't know. It's just this whole conversation about how to connect people more sustainably to, these places that we go kayaking, hiking, mountain climbing, mountain biking, like all these different things. It's not the way that our the way that it's set up right now is not sustainable for the long term, and it's not sustainable for, even for the net, even for the short term, I would say it's not sustainable. There's gonna be more and more tourists coming every year to Banff. So how we're connecting them to nature, how we're connecting them to these recreational sites, how we're connecting them to the town of Banff itself is a fundamental question that I think that, we're still trying to grapple with, not just in Banff as well, but many other communities as well, that how we can get around our cities more sustainably. So just talking more about your Rome public transit, I know that you I think I can't remember if you mentioned this earlier, but I think you said it was free for residents in or at least in the city it was.
Yes, so in the town site, what we've done is after we implemented visitor pay parking in 2021, we took those funds and tried to put them back into the hands of residents. So that's what funds the e-bike rebate program, and that's what funds keeping the same frequency in winter as summer locally on the local local Banff roots. And then we also created a pass so that it would be free for residents to take the local ones. So not the ones that go into the regional areas, but the ones that are in the town site. And that has also been really successful. We've seen such huge uptake on that. And to touch a little bit on Moraine Lake Road, it is out of my jurisdiction, but I completely commend Parks Canada for that decision. The situation at Moraine Lake Road was becoming so unmanageable. They had to have 24-hour security of that parking lot. And the numbers on that are there are 115 parking stalls. So they hold about 900 vehicles a day, but they were turning away 5,000 people a day. And that simply is just bananas. So, in order to protect this environment that we love, we need to change the way that we access it to protect it and for it to stay the same. And so I'm very curious to see how that system is going to work this summer. I know Lake Louise and Moraine Lake, that whole area, it just gets better and better every summer, the way that they are managing their traffic. And so really curious to see how that's going to play out. But I absolutely think it was the right decision to try and see how this works with closing that road.
No, absolutely. I totally agree. And I don't know why I thought of this, but just in talking, thinking about physical activity and sport as well, people who take public transit also often get more physical activity than people who drive everywhere. I don't know why that fact just kind of popped into my head, but whether you're first and last mile, whether you're walking or biking to the bus stop, and then walking or biking at the other end to where your destination, you are getting a little bit more physical activity into your day. It's just kind of built in rather than you're driving to those places. And I think,
Absolutely.
yeah, it's just an interesting yeah it's just an interesting connection between, I think, sport, physical activity, recreation, and how we connect people to sustainably in the national park system. And I think it's quite an interesting conversation, but
Well, a fun fact. So this is not the fun fact, but I used to work for Rome Public Transit. I did their communication, so I'm just a full-on transit nerd. But we did a bit of a mapping exercise where we learned that every resident is within 400 meter walking distance of a transit stop, and that is the standard for transit agencies. So to your point, every resident has the ability to have a free pass for local transit, and they all live within 400 meters walking distance of a bus stop. So just amazing. Like, I'm so proud of this system.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, and I don't know if Banff has an advantage because of, like, they are confined by the 4 square kilometers. So they do have a, I'm not gonna say unfair advantage, but a great advantage that allows them to be able to do that and offer these amazing services to residents, that are, definitely sometimes harder to implement for other cities and other jurisdictions. But yeah, I think that's
Oh, completely. Some days, the space constraints are a challenge. So when we talk about, we're in the middle of a housing crisis, we can't just say, oh, well, how about those trees over there, that forest over there? Let's just develop that. We can't do that. We have a fixed boundary. We need to work within our boundary. So on days like that, it's very challenging to work within your boundary. But on days where we're boosting up our transit system, it's an absolute blessing. And Parks Canada had the foresight to put in certain regulations. So one is our fixed boundary, the other is a commercial cap, and the third is the need to reside eligibility. So if you live in Banff, you need to be working in Banff, and those have completely helped to protect and save this place from becoming like other places around the world. So for instance, I went on a conference down to Colorado and got to tour Vail and Aspen and Breckenridge. And what I learned and what I took away, especially from Aspen, was that their workforce can't afford to live there. They're living an hour down the valley. And I'll never forget, a one bedroom in downtown Aspen was being rented for $5,000 a month. And so when you think about these protections that Parks Canada put in place, We do have challenges with affordability and housing, but when you see a situation like that, you think, wow, we are in a good spot comparatively, which is a really nice feeling, and that's, kudos to Parks Canada.
Yeah, I get, and just we're on the topic of housing and your set boundaries and stuff. So I guess we're veering a little bit away from the conversation on sport and recreation, but I think it does still have a connection. So would you say that Banff is a 15-minute city? Like, do you think that just because how small it is?
Absolutely. Yep. And I'll just talk personally. It takes me 10 minutes to walk to work. Obviously, it's less than that if I'm biking. I walk about, I want to say, 5 minutes to my grocery store so I can carry my groceries home. When I want to get out onto the Bow Valley Parkway, which is a really great pilot that Parks Canada has also been running during the pandemic. And now, as we're moving out of the pandemic, I hop on my bike and I bike right onto Vermilion Lakes Road that takes me out to the parkway all the way to Johnston Canyon. And then I turn around and come home. And that's about a, I think that's around 30-ish kilometer bike ride. And it's just amazing. Like it's truly, that's what makes my quality of life here, is that I can walk right out the door, go to the grocery store, grab my groceries, come home. I can meet the friend at the coffee shop and know that my barista also probably lives about 10 minutes away walking, So yeah, I'd say we definitely meet that definition. Of course, as you mentioned earlier, we have a bit of a head start compared to other people because of our fixed boundary, but certainly, yeah, I would agree. We fit that model.
So in terms of future housing developments in Banff, you're mostly focusing on I don't know, what would you be mostly focusing on? I would assume it's not single family homes anymore.
That's correct. So we made some land use bylaw amendments about 10 years ago that really started to phase out the single detached home. So those are now discretionary uses, and a lot of the land use areas are now, as they go to redevelop, it's for higher density. So that's the goal, is higher density. And I came into council at a really exciting time. There was a transportation master plan, there was a housing master plan, and so I've been able to help move through those recommendations. And in terms of housing, we really knew that we had such a shortfall in our rental units, and we've been able to really move the needle on that. So around that same time, council approved a bylaw that would allow for parking reductions to apartment housing if it met certain criteria. So some of that criteria was how far away they were from transit stop, if they were offering covered bike parking, how close they were walking distance to the downtown core. And so that has enabled Banff to build 10% of its housing stock in the last decade, which is amazing. But we kind of need that next. So that was called Bylaw 380. I always say we're looking for our next Bylaw 380 to help us with that next big step, that next big bold move. But certainly, rental has been a big part of the pie. And then now we are very close to opening some condos for first-time home buyers. They had priority on this project, and of the 33 units, 85% of them were first-time home buyers, which is really amazing to see. And we also have some other lands that we'll be talking about this spring about what to do with. But really, the next step is looking at that next bold mechanism to help incentivize private development, as well as helping the town with our next project, whatever that looks like.
Amazing. Yeah, I get, like, the connection to sport and recreation is a little bit looser, but you're definitely building, more denser communities where it's accessible and affordable housing for everybody. It does, encourage active transport. So the connection is loose, but there's definitely a connection between housing policy, urban planning, and sport and recreation. So I really love this conversation, and I think it's great. And thank you so much, Corey, for taking the time to speak with me. I guess I'll ask you one final question.
Sure.
Is if there's one takeaway from, if someone from another city is listening and they, you want to leave them with one takeaway, what would you leave them with?
Ooh, I'd say you can do it too. Like, you can figure it out too. Like, it's, budget, of course, space, of course, but it just takes the political will and courage to focus on these types of initiatives. And, I think especially with us, when we looked at things like our Bear Street Shared Street, we kind of heard, well, you guys aren't Europe, and here in Alberta, folks love their cars and they love being able to park 5 meters from where they're going. But I strongly believe that, yeah, you can make it happen too, in whatever that looks like for your community. It might not be the same here because of our geographical size and whatnot, but certainly just having the political will and courage, you can make it happen.
Yeah, that reminds me of what you said earlier. Your cars don't shop, people do, or something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally. Like, I think we have really given over our public space quite freely to cars, and now we're in this era of trying to plot back for people. And it's amazing seeing this revolution of giving the streets back to the people.
I think the
We ride at
pandemic.
dawn.
Yeah, I think the pandemic was sort of as a vessel for doing that. We saw a lot of reclamation of city space and streets and stuff, which I think was really incredible to see. And hopefully that keeps happening. I saw some reversal happening after 2022. It kind of started turning around a little bit, but hopefully we do realize the value that came to our cities and the value that it brought to residents. So. But yes, anyways, Corey, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate
Thanks,
it.
David.
And yeah, thank you. I think this was a really great conversation and totally different than what we've talked about on the podcast before. So it was really great.
Oh, neat. Oh, good. Well, happy to be here. Thanks again for inviting me, and happy to come back and chat anytime.
Thank you once again to Corey for coming on the podcast to talk about, building a sustainable and active lifestyle for citizens. Building a sustainable city to live in. Sustainable public transit. Some of the different rebates that they have going on in Banff. It's really quite interesting. The connection between sport, recreation, and urban planning, and how our design choices influence, how active people are in their day-to-day lives. Now, obviously, I think that, living in a national park is, probably somewhat inspiring for people to be, more active day to day. But, obviously we can take that some of that inspiration and sprinkle it all over, in different cities, building better active transport networks, increasing public transit and things like that throughout other cities will also inspire people to be more active. Now, I think it's really interesting what we talked about today with Corey because, Banff National Park is 6,641 square kilometers, and the town of Banff, as I said, was only 4 square kilometers, so a very tiny percentage, very, very tiny percentage of the whole park. Now, I think this question about sustainable, connecting people sustainably to these different, iconic and natural wonders. Lake Louise, for example, is a really important conversation. And I think it also can help, talk about, if they can do it there, in this huge space, we need to talk about more in cities, right? How can we connect people more sustainably to swimming pools? How can we connect people more sustainably to community centers, to curling rinks, to tennis courts? And all these different things. And I think that there's a lot of lessons to be learned from Banff that, can be used in other places, in other cities and other places around the world. And I think that we need to put more thought into that and put more purpose into it. And that it needs to be more of a conversation that involves the sport and recreation sector. I think that we have a lot to offer in, thinking about how we can design these spaces and how we can connect better with the community. So those are just some of my reflections and my thoughts and my key takeaways from this episode. Obviously, there's a lot more that I would love to talk about more in depth. The connection between urban planning and sport is, I think, really incredible and a really big space that we need to talk to, that we need to explore more. But yeah, so that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk with you next time.